All right, quick, tell me. Do you struggle to create compositions and tell those powerful visual stories in your photography? And do you struggle to really come up with creative ideas every single time? I mean, do you spend hours thinking of those unique compositions so that you can have strong storytelling in your photographies and make your photos stand out? If you struggle with any of those, I have just the thing for you. I've created a free guide called The 5 Steps to Visual Storytelling. It's easy to follow and it is totally uncomplicated. It actually simplifies the process. You know how much I hate complications. It's actually a step-by-step process on how to bring visual storytelling to your food photography and come up with creative compositions every single time. And talking of time, doing all of that without spending hours thinking, conceptualizing, and getting frustrated. Transport your viewer into your photos by taking your visual storytelling skills to the next level, and that too with a systematic and streamlined approach so you are never out of ideas or out of steam. Download the free guide at the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram saying free guide and I'll send you the link. I do also need to mention that when we are working with clients, we don't always have a say in deciding whether something will be a large composition or a single composition or a single plate or a minimal or a macro composition. It really is dependent on the client's requirements. It's their branding, the purpose of the photo, and also where they are going to use the photo. So we don't always have a say when it comes to client work in the kind of composition to create, but knowing what kind of composition can work for their food puts us in the expert's chair. It puts us in a position to be able to confidently make a suggestion to them for which direction they should choose for their composition. This is your host, Dyutima, but you can call me DJ. And I love to inspire food photographers to dream. I spent 15 years as an architect studying buildings and constructing hospitals before taking the biggest leap of faith of my life, which was setting up a food styling and food photography business right from scratch. If you're a dreamer like me, wanting to start a new photography business or grow your existing food photography business, jump right into a world where I share practical, actionable strategies to improve your photography skills, to work with clients, make more money, or with a fearless mindset. This is the My Food Lens podcast, and we take you one step closer to your dreams. So let's go. Let's talk about composition today. As food photographers, we just love creating compositions with food and we love admiring or love getting inspired by big, large, elaborate compositions that other photographers make, right? So truth be told, it is not easy to create large compositions that are aesthetically balanced, that look proportionate, that have a sense of movement to them, that don't look cluttered, and yet have this larger-than-life storytelling aspect to them. Over the years, over and over again, I've heard from many different food photographers, and it's also been shared with me that most photographers find it easier to master technical photography skills as compared to getting a grip on composition. So creating composition is a bigger struggle than understanding the camera. Do you agree? Would you agree? Yeah, is that yours too? Well, when it comes to large compositions, especially, I would say it really does get so overwhelming, right? I mean, creating large compositions is time-taking. It needs a vision. And you really need a solid grip on proportions and balance. So creating large composition actually takes a lot of time. It takes experience as well, I would say, and lots of practice to be able to start creating large compositions effortlessly.
And when I say F with Leslie, it means with lesser effort than when you started, because it's never really effortless. We all know how much effort it takes, right? So today I want to share with you three situations when it's totally worth spending your time in creating those large compositions. And I especially want to share this because it's different when we are creating photos for our personal projects or our personal portfolio. But when it comes to client work, we don't always have the flexibility to add whatever we want to the frame. I mean, for example, if a client is selling frozen meat pies, let's go with that, all right? Frozen meat pies. We cannot just go and add herbs and garnish to it to make that pie look more delicious. I mean, if you have ever seen a frozen meat pie, you know exactly what that thing looks like. So we can't just go and add, you know, whatever herbs or garnish we want. We have to shoot it as it is and still make it look irresistible. We don't always have the liberty to add props and ingredients to make food look delicious when it is a client project. And that's where compositions come into play, because ingredients are not, props are not. The style of our composition, the kind of composition that we make, can really help us work with difficult or tricky food, something like frozen meat pies. I do also need to mention that when we are working with clients, we don't always have a say in deciding whether something will be a large composition or a single composition or a single plate or a minimal or a macro composition. It really is dependent on the client's requirements. It's their branding, the purpose of the photo, and also where they are going to use the photo. So we don't always have a say when it comes to client work in the kind of composition to create, but knowing what kind of composition can work for their food puts us in the expert's chair. It puts us in a position to be able to confidently make a suggestion to them for which direction they should choose for their composition. Okay, so please nod along or say yes when I say that not all food is meant for the same kind of composition. So for example, some food looks spectacular in a more minimal setup, while some food really, really calls for a larger composition. Now, let's be clear about a few basics before we dive further. Tell me, why do we create compositions in the first place? Why do we create compositions of food? Minimal or elaborate, the composition we create is actually the story we want to tell the viewer. So be it just a bowl of noodle soup on the table, be it a few breadcrumbs on the wooden tabletop, or a whole Christmas feast laid out. The composition we create is the story we want to tell the viewer. Now, the effectiveness of that story, or the chances of the viewer successfully being transported into that story, depends on how successful we are in creating that composition and communicating those aspects of the story. It really depends on the visual expression of the food as well, and how attractive, how eye-catching, and how captivating the food looks. All right. So this is all part of composition and storytelling, and how eye-catching and how captivating the food looks. That's your cue right there. That's something that we'll be talking a lot about as we move forward. Okay, so let's just jump right into the world of large compositions. Now that we understand the purpose of a composition and we understand what makes a successful composition, how do we know what food would work well with which kind of composition? That's the big question we are answering today, my friend. The truth is that we can make any food look like $1 million in either a minimal composition or an elaborate composition. There's no right or wrong here, and I'm pretty sure that you agree with me. So let's say a slice of cake on a small plate showing that buttery texture, it can be quite a showstopper, as much as a table full of butter cakes of different shapes and sizes. Both types of compositions, they have their place, they both can make their impact, and they can both serve their purpose. But we also know that it takes a lot of time and effort to create large compositions. So how do we know when it's worth spending the time? And how do we know whether a large composition will do justice to a food? Now, if you have seen my work, you know I'm one of those photographers who just loves large compositions. In fact, I once worked with a client, I think it was last year, and we were shooting festive hampers. All right, so there was like a number of things. Now, if you have ever shot a festive hamper, you would definitely know how lackluster that is. Everything is in packaging, in plastic, in boxes, and you kind of have to create a composition with all of those products that ultimately go into a basket or a box to become a hamper. So it's not really like a chocolate cake that you're shooting. You are shooting products which are inside plastic bags and paper bags, and you have to show packaging, and yet you have to create something magnificent. So we were shooting those festive hampers, and there were a number of things in each hamper, and they wanted me to create a composition. So every hamper was like, some hampers had like 10 things in them, all right? And they are all packaged in different sorts of packaging. They are all irregular shape, rectangles, squares, whatever, some round. Some are reflecting the light, some are not reflecting the light. It was just a mishmash of a lot of different products. And they wanted me to create a very aesthetic and beautiful composition of all the products so that they could showcase what is included in the hamper. So when you have to put 10 things in a frame and they all look so disconnected, then it's not easy, my friend, right? You know how tough it is, boss, right? I did it though. Of course, I had to do it. I was hired to do it. And I did it in a way that they loved it. You know, when they saw how I was working with so many products and how I was making the compositions, and the compositions really looked natural and easier. They didn't look forced, even though the products looked very different. My client actually said to me, "You're a magician." She looked at me, she's like, "I can't even believe what you have made this into." And since that day, she started calling me the magician. She's like, "Oh, just work your magic here. Oh, you are the magician." You know, so I'm not telling you this for any praise. What I'm sharing this for is to emphasize that large compositions or working with several elements in a frame is not easy, and especially when it's a client project. So we really have to gauge whether it is worth our time or not, whether it suits our food or not. Just by looking at a food subject, we should actually be able to envision the kind of composition it would look the most striking in, and it would convey the most powerful story in. All right. So this episode is also kind of going to be like a cheat sheet for you, so that you know that certain composition styles work well for certain kind of foods. And that way, you know exactly what kind of composition to aim for, especially when you're short of time. So here are the three kinds of food that I usually create large compositions for. First, food that lacks detail. Second, single color food. Third, ugly food. All right. So let's quickly pick one at a time and talk about it. Let's talk about food that lacks detail. What do I mean? Food that lacks detail. So this category is by far the most ideal candidate for a large composition. Now, imagine a chocolate cupcake with vanilla cream frosting with choco nibs and maybe a cherry on top. How's that, right? So how gorgeous that cupcake would be, right? Now imagine a cheese scone, yellowish, orange, maybe some signs of herbs, no longer green, but pretty much tastes amazing, but does not have much visual appeal to it as compared to the chocolate cherry vanilla cupcake. So if I had to shoot that cupcake, I would want to show the swirls of the frosting and the shine on the cherry and the dark mystical color of the chocolate. I would literally take one cupcake and I would shoot it in the most flattering light. And that's because it has amazing details and it has such high visual appeal. It would, even that one cupcake would automatically convey the story of deliciousness and captivate the viewer. Now, if I had to shoot the not-so-detailed cheese scone the same way, we could argue that actually really going up close or showing that crumbly texture of the scone could also convey a powerful story. Yes, of course, absolutely. We agreed to that in the beginning. that all foods can look great in all compositions, we definitely agreed to that. But if I had to make a bigger impact and a more compelling photo out of that scone, I would choose a larger composition. I would literally take a basket of scones, not one, not two, a basket of scones. And I would have some scones taken out on small plates, maybe have some tea on a table. Ooh, and butter. I would have butter. I would also have some half-eaten scones on a plate that looks like a very lived-in kind of a feel. And that large composition, I would spend the time to create that large composition because that large composition would actually showcase the experience of eating that scone. Now, that would make a really, really powerful story, right? So that's what my philosophy is. When food lacks detail, create impact with volume. One scone on a plate versus 10 scones in a basket. To create a feeling of abundance, a feeling of deliciousness, we jack up the volume. We bump up the volume and the amount of deliciousness. So while one chocolatey cupcake might be enough to make a viewer drool, a single scone may not do that job, boss. But a basket of scones with butter? Ha ha ha, who's drooling now, right? That basket of scones with butter, that would give more for the eyes to look at and to create that drool factor. I'm literally drooling right now. I want a scone with butter. I swear to God. So anyway, as a general rule, when I have food like sourdough bread, roti, paratha, flatbread, simple cakes, you know, no frosting cakes, soups, dal, something that does not have high visual appeal or something that doesn't have too much detail or to double down on, that's where large compositions can help to create impactful stories. So let's talk about the second situation now. The second situation is with single colored food. And what do I mean by single colored food? All right. What I mean is not multicolored food. Okay. So not salads. Like salads, they are multicolored. They have lots of different fresh ingredients. They are so vibrant. They can be orange, yellow, green, red, you know, lots of different popping colors. But single color food is not like that. Single color food is something like, let's say butter chicken. Okay. So butter chicken, it's a reddish curry. And it has reddish color chicken tikka inside it. So it's not like the chicken is a different color. It's red on red. So it's overall a red dish without any distinction or break in the color. Now, red is a very attractive color. We all know that. It catches attention. But showing food in a minimal composition, it actually might need a lot of work to be able to create that oomph effect because the food is red on red. So even if you went really up close, the color contrast is missing here. So again, just like the scone example, if we can create a larger composition that tells the story of the experience of eating that butter chicken, aha, now that is powerful, right? How about some hot naan with butter, some pickled onion rings, a large portion of butter chicken in a pot, and then, you know, a little bit served on a plate with naan and chunks of chicken showing prominently. Imagine that scene. Imagine that scene. And again, tell me you're not drooling. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking of a cheese scone with a butter chicken right now. How about that? If you're not drooling, then let's add a glass of wine to the scene, okay? And let's also add a person's hand scooping that curry from the bowl. That's a beautiful story. That's a delicious story. That's a captivating story. We know that spending the time in creating such a story, such a large composition, will be so worth it and it will absolutely do justice to the food. Some other single color foods that sort of come to my mind are chicken nuggets, all orange. You know, you see the color doesn't really have contrast. And a minimal composition of chicken nuggets. Imagine how lackluster that could look versus a big bag or a bucket of nuggets. How about that with ketchup? Oh, that is a strong composition. Similarly, milk pudding. That comes to my mind. Milk pudding. It's all white, But a composition of a few bowls of milk pudding with lots of dry fruits and garnish on the side, it can literally make a viewer taste it and have a higher impact on them. So in order to create a powerful visual story for food that have the same color without any color contrast in them, we need to create that break of color. We need to create that contrast. We need to showcase the texture, and we need to create a composition that encompasses all of that seamlessly. So that's why larger compositions really come in handy for such foods. Now, let's talk about the third situation. Third situation is with ugly food. By ugly food, I mean absolutely no visual appeal. Absolutely nothing. Something like brown food and brown sauce. Ha, think about that. How about clear broth soup with vegetables? Spinach lentils, palak dal, what we call. Right? So food that looks a bit like mush, but it tastes amazing, but really doesn't have that visual appeal. It is really ugly. That's the kind of food that we are talking about as our third situation. So imagine you are shooting for a diner. They have a chicken with mushroom sauce. How sexy do you think their mushroom sauce would be? It will in all probability be a bit dull brown, maybe a bit gray. It might taste like a million bucks out of the world, but really, it will not look as appetizing as it probably tastes. So how would you shoot it to make it look enticing? That's where larger compositions will take a viewer's attention away from the lackluster color or detail of the dish and instead make them drool over the experience of having that dish. Or it might even make them nostalgic if we create, a diner scene. Maybe it brings back memories of the childhood or something that is, very, very relatable to them. So a larger composition for ugly food actually helps to channel the viewer's attention to the right places. Because we know that such food actually has lower visual appeal, but higher taste appeal, right? Higher taste value. So adding a little bit of ingredients in the composition, garnish, fresh herbs, seasoning, maybe a beverage, it can actually make a viewer's attention shift from, the attractiveness. They are not really looking for attractiveness. They would probably get drawn to the overall sensory experience of the herbs and the beverage and the feel of the scene. And it's not really about the color of the brown sauce. It really becomes about this whole experience of how they are eating that dish, the kind of setup that they are sitting in. And again, the full sensory experience, because we know that the food strength is not its visual appeal. The food strength is its sensory appeal. So if you are ever short of time or you are struggling to work with simple or with single color or with ugly food, try creating a larger story around that food and then decide what you want the viewer to experience when attractiveness is not the virtue of that food. Knowing when a certain food needs your time and attention and it needs a larger composition is a huge time saver in itself. It also saves the frustration and the nervousness of working with tough foods, right? Imagine working with that frozen meat pie or for a diner or with those festive hamper products. So when you're working with client, it actually helps to put you in the expert's position to add value to the conversation, to make valuable suggestions which would be best suited for the product. So it's not just saving you time, frustration, it's also taking away the nervousness and it's putting you in the expert's chair, exactly what I mentioned right in the beginning. So with that, also remember that you can make any food look amazing in any composition. There is absolutely no doubt about it, but depending on the situation, certain compositions help to elevate the wowness of certain foods more than others. And speaking of food, now I'm thinking of the cheese scone with butter chicken, a glass of wine, and how about some milk pudding to end? the meal, right? I'm totally drooling after talking about all of that. I'm pretty sure you can make out. So I'm gonna go. All right. But if you have a question about compositions, you know where to reach me. Email me at hello@myfoodlens.com or send me a DM on Instagram at @Gautama_myfoodlens. And I'll see you next week with another episode. Until then, bye-bye.